Our coming together to pray is one response to the Holy Spirit. This ministry of intercession makes us co-laborers with God the Father through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. In the mystery of His work in the world, God has chosen to respond with mighty deeds to the prayers of His children. Let us therefore begin with the prayer that our Lord taught us. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Part of prayer is praising God. Let's take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 4 and sing praises to Him. Hymn number 4.
Joyful in the Lord,
This is a World Day of Prayer, and it's an awesome thought to think that people all over the world, millions of people, are gathering this day to lift their praise in prayer to God. We have a number of international students. We are worldwide at Asbury. And one who I know and have grown to love is Joseph Chum. Joseph is an ordained pastor in the Christian Holiness Church in Korea. This church was founded by the Oriental Missionary Society. He was general secretary for that church from 1962 through 1970. Joseph is going to pray for us this morning in English and in Korean. And after he prays for us this morning, our chapel choir, under the direction and leadership of Professor Buchanan, will minister to us in music. Brother Joseph.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather here together in your presence. We praise your holy name for the salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for our sins and resurrected from death for our righteousness. We pray now, O missionaries who are serving and working all over the world for your glory and building your church. We pray especially for the alumni of Asbury Theological Seminary who have answered your call, are serving as missionaries all over the world. Dr. Morris Culver and fellow missionaries and their families are working for the gospel in Africa. And also, Reverend Hendricks Townsley in India, Reverend Bert Beethoven in South America, Reverend Jacob Paul in Malaysia, Dr. Edwin Kilburn, and many other missionaries in Korea. Lord, give them strength and good health to do their beautiful work for your church. Merciful Lord, help us to be faithful servants to the end that the gospel shall be preached in the United States, South America, Southeast Asia, Africa, and rest of the world. 주께서 전 세계를 굽어보시고 주의 자비하심과 긍휼하심으로 말미암아서 잊어버린 영혼들을 당신 앞에 인도할 수 있는 놀라운 역사가 나타나게 하여 주시옵소서. 많은 당신의 사랑하는 일꾼들이 이 예즈베르 신학을 통해서 전 세계에 나갔습니다. 하나님께서 성령의 역사하심으로 말미암아서 그들에게 능력을 주시고 하나님의 귀하신 생명의 말씀을 통해서 그들을 구원의 자리에 인도할 수 있는 놀라운 역사가 나타나게 하시기를 원하옵고 기도합니다. 아버지 하나님, 많은 영혼들이 구원의 말씀을 갈구하고 있사오며 하나님의 귀하신 구원의 은총을 소원하고 있습니다. 세계의 많은 지역에서 지금 분쟁과 전쟁과 말할 수 없는 절망의 구름이 감돌고 있사오니 하나님의 은혜의 손길이 선교사들을 통해서 역사하셔서 그들에게 삶의 소망을 주고 구원의 소망을 줄 수 있는 놀라운 역사가 나타나게 하여 주시옵소서. 당신의 많은 사랑하는 종들이 이 에즈베리 신학을 통해서 나갔사오니 그들을 통해서 당신께서 영광을 받으시옵소서. 이 기도의 시간을 하나님께서 복비로 주시옵소서. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you may touch our heart with your wonderful message of salvation this time for the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I suppose there are many things that I could say in introducing Francisco Bazan. He is a graduate of the seminary, but I'm not going to go into all that. I'm going to introduce him on the basis of what I know about him and my contact personally with him. I can honestly say about this man that I have never one time in any contact I have ever had with him see him discouraged. I have never seen him when he was not giving praises to the Lord. He is an example for us at the seminary, a tremendous example for us to follow. And he's going to speak the Word of God to us this morning. He told me this morning prior to coming out, he says, if I take 2 or 3 minutes extra, is that all right? And I said, that's all right. Because he says, you see, really, my life and the way God saved me is a prayer. So Francisco is going to come and speak to us now.
Thank you very much, Bob. I hope I will not overshoot the time allotted to me. So I have to use a watch which was given to me by a man whom I witnessed, and his life was changed completely in Abilene, Texas, by the name Mr. Barney Barnhill. And he gave me this watch through Dr. Mayfield. And Dr. Mayfield gave it to Dr. Killian, my sponsor for my coming here in America. And Dr. Killian gave it to me. So, but this one, yesterday I used a rope. But Ed Orban gave it to me after speaking in the kitchen, in the dining hall. So I have to use it now so that I cannot overshoot the time allotted to me. Shall we pray? Almighty and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I am very grateful for being given the opportunity to speak unto thy people this morning. And so, O Lord, may thou guide me with thy Holy Spirit. Amen. I live by prayer, and I cannot get along without prayer in my life. I know that the whole world is praying because this is World Day of Prayer. I begin the day with prayer, think of God with prayer, close the day with prayer, lie down with prayer, and in fact, my own very life and the life of my family are always based on prayers. What I am and what I have with my family is all results of prayer to the Almighty God. And so I will center my speaking this morning on some specific evidences which are the results of prayer, because today is a World Day of Prayer. You know, I was not a Christian before I was converted. I was a nominal Christian, but I did not live according to the Bible standards of being a Christian. When I was in Manila, after graduation from high school in 1932, I was engrossed with sin, and sin like me, because I found pleasure in sin. But I had a mother who was always praying for me. And she wanted me to be always a Christian and a good boy. And so, perhaps my conversion to the Lord was the result of her prayers for me in my Christian life. And so, when an American Methodist missionary penetrated our village in 1935, he was preaching the gospel, but I was antagonistic with the gospel, as the case may be in the Philippines. And together with some other young people, we attended the services, not because I was interested to know about the Lord, but when the American missionary was making an appeal for those people who wanted to accept Jesus Christ in their lives, I was hiding behind a big tree because of the disturbances we were making. But when the missionary was preaching and making an appeal for those people who wanted to accept Jesus in their lives, I felt that the Holy Spirit or the Lord grabbed my left arm and brought me to the altar. So from behind the tree, I was catapulted at the altar. And there I found Jesus Christ first as my personal Savior, because He saved me from my sins. When I was converted, I kissed my sins goodbye and did not tell my sins till we met again. And so, from that time, I became a Christian. In the second place, I found Jesus Christ as my master in life, because when I was converted, I completely surrendered my life to Him, to be mastered by Him. And He was my master and is still my master even at the present time. In the third place, I found Jesus Christ in my life as my friend. There are friends in the Bible like David and Jonathan, like the prodigal son and his friends. His friends left him when his money was gone, because they were only friends in need but not in deed. But I am very thankful because I found Jesus Christ as my friend who sticks to me at all times, indeed, because He died for me that I might have life eternal. You know, for the last 34 years in our ministry with my wife, there were so many trials and tribulations that we had encountered in our ministry, especially during the war, when sometimes we went to bed hungry or many difficulties receiving $15 monthly or $20 monthly, or many trials. And there was a time that I was put in the garrison and ransomed by vegetables by my own people, even the Roman Catholics. But anyway, in spite of the trials and the tribulations that my wife and I have been encountering during that time and even to the present time, my wife and I let not the dark hours with which we may be passing be the twilight after sunset, but the twilight before the dawn, because we know that behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. Behind the clouds of hardship and difficulties in our ministry, I know that my friend Jesus will always say unto me, "Francisco, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so ministry to me and my wife is becoming sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. And then I found Jesus Christ as my guide, because He guides me everywhere I go. If I ride on my bicycle, He guides me everywhere. If I ride on my motorcycle, He guides me even into the jungles. And I believe that God has guided me to come back to America. Dr. Killian and I were classmates in the seminary. The last person whom I shook hands when I left the seminary campus was Dr. Stanger, the president. And Dr. Killian told me that he got a picture of that and he gave it to Dr. Stanger. And the last person where I had my last meal was in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Robart. And I met them in the Philippines in Butuan City. And so I'm very thankful that God has guided me to come back to America. After working there hard in the jungles of Mindanao Island, where I work with Reverend Spotswood, there is fighting now in Mindanao between the Muslims and the Christians. The places that I had penetrated before, that God has guided me to penetrate, when I will go back to the Philippines, I will never do it again. But here is Dr. Killian, who wrote me and said, Francisco, you come back to America. At first, I was reluctant to come back because I have no home to stay. But with consultation with my Bishop Ferrer, he made it a point that my wife will stay in the parsonage because he appointed a pastor from Kabakan and stay in his own home, so my family was able to come to stay in the parsonage. So I answered Dr. Killian that I was accepting his offer, and then he gave me the papers to be presented to the American Embassy to get my visa. And with the strength of his letter, I was not investigated anymore. They just announced, Francisco, your visa will be ready at 4:30. So I wrote back Dr. Killian that I was accepting, and he sent me the transportation. I don't know where he got. And I'm very thankful that $100 came from the missionary outreach of the seminary, and I'm very thankful. And so I came here, perhaps guided through the results of prayer. And now I'm staying in your home, eating. Sometimes I eat in the seminary with Mrs. Killian washing my clothes and everything. And I hope that with my humble influence, I can influence the American people for a deeper commitment of their lives to God and be missionary-minded. So this is a result of prayer, because I believe that Jesus Christ is my guide in life. And then lastly, I found Jesus Christ as my judge. I know that someday, somehow, I will appear before the judgment seat of God. You will all appear. And so, from the time since I was converted to the present time, I am always trying my very best to live Christ-like as possible, to live more like the Master, so that when I shall appear before the judgment seat of God, I will not be found wanting, and be in that celestial home not made with the hands of men, but made by the hands of God. And I praise God for that, because my conversion was a result of prayer of my late mother, who was a Christian. And I am glad that I found Jesus Christ, who shed tears, but he dries our tears. I'm glad that I met Jesus Christ, who was weary and sat on the brim of that well, but he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest, and I have that rest. I'm glad that I found Jesus Christ, who said, I thirst, but I found that I thirst, but he said, I am the water. He said to the woman of Samaria, the water that you will drink from this well, you will thirst again, but the water that I will give you will never thirst and die, but have eternal life. I have that. I'm glad that I met Jesus, who was hungry in the wilderness, but he said, I am the bread of life. He that your fathers have eaten man in heaven, and they died. But he said, I am the bread from heaven. He that eateth this bread will never hunger and die, but have life eternal. I have that. I am glad that I found Jesus Christ as my Redeemer, although he was sold for 30 pieces of silver, but he redeemed me from my sins when he died on the cross. And so this morning, as a result of prayer of my late mother, I can say to you that before I was blind, but now I can see. Before I was hungry, but now no more. Before I was thirsty, but now no more. Before I did not know that I am saved, but now I know I am saved, because I know whom I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I heard because an American missionary penetrated my village and preached the gospel, and I was converted. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord for this conversion. Now I am in the ministry. There are many instances in my life which is the result of prayer. You know, I wanted to come to America. I was applying in Garrett and also Boston because I believe that with my transcript of records, I will be accepted through the Methodist Overseas Crusade Scholarship. But one of the alumni here, Marcos Verbano, the classmate of Dr. Sisna, Dr. Lehman, and one of the students here, Marcos Verbano, he said to me, Pastor, you better apply in Asbury Seminary. So I disregarded my applications to Boston and Garrett, and I wrote my application here. And I applied here. And then they responded back to the Philippines. They sent me application, and then I filled it. And then they told me that I will send application together with my transcript of records with the, like this. Without this, no value. So I send back my application here together with my transcript of records, and within 3 weeks, I received a response from Dr. Turkington, seeing that I was accepted unanimously. I wrote back that thanking them in the seminary that I for being accepted. But I said, I cannot come because I have no money. I don't know what happened. Dr. Mark Peters and my Bishop Valencia were good friends, And in 3 weeks, a ticket was sent to me to the Philippines. Bishop Valencia gave me the ticket, $613. And so, it came from here. I don't know where the seminary got the money, but anyway, I was sent ticket, $615. So, my travel agent gave me the $615, and I boarded the Pan American jet plane, like that. When I left Manila, they asked me whether I have dollars. The other passengers, $200. American passengers, $300. But when my turn came, I said none. So the one in charge of the immigration section in Manila looked at me and said, why? You have no money. But I said, no money because I don't have money to buy American dollars. But anyway, I boarded. I landed in Los Angeles, and I was told to get the $13 extra, but they told me that I can get it back in Manila because that was the source of the ticket. So I was sorely disappointed. No money. The girl that I sat with loaned me $1. And so I put 10 cents in the airport, and I got soap, S-O-U-P, and when I drank it, it was hot. It was my first time to do like that. So anyway, I boarded the plane. And so I was given the number, and I sat beside the propeller like this. Propeller. But while I was on top somewhere in Colorado, I said to myself, if that propeller will be removed, I will be killed here. So I looked back, and there were two vacant seats. I sat behind. But after sitting, there was an American who came from the comfort room. And I was about to stand and give him my seat, but he said, you just sit there. So we sat together. But anyway, to make the story short, the American asked me where I came from. The American asked me where I was going. I told him that I was coming here. But I don't have any single cents in my pocket except a few cents left from the $1 that girl loaned me. And then later on, to make the story short, the American said, but I was praying, do you need money? I look at him like this because he was tall. I said, oh, well, I need money. And then later on, He got money from his pocket, and then rolls of money, and then he said, you can have this. And you know how much? $100 bill. So I got it. And then I got his name, an address, and then I came back here. I came here. I corresponded with him, and I found out that he was a gambler. And that Saturday, he won several thousand dollars, and he was trying to visit his family somewhere in Arkansas because he wanted to give money to his family because they were separated. But in the course of the correspondence, in the midst of the year, I brought him to the Lord, and he was converted, and praise the Lord for that. And every time he writes me, he said, Francisco, I just came from church this morning. And so, I'm very thankful. Now, I sent that money to my family in the Philippines. And to make the story short, after earning money from the kitchen for 3 years, washing the pots and pans with Album Stig and some others, and working as a janitor in Bristol, Rhode Island, in a shoe factory, and some others, I was able to save money. And so, by April, before graduation in May, I bought $100 check from the Wilmore Bank and paid him back the $100. After 3 weeks, I received a letter from him and said, Francisco, I am returning to you the $100 you paid me because you are one of 1,000 people who will pay back money loan to you by someone whom you do not know. I showed this check to Dr. Killian, my sponsor, and then we became closer. He told me, the $50 for your camera, the $50 you give it to your wife. So I praise the Lord. God has answered what I need through prayers. Even the education of my children are being answered through prayers. I have no home here, but I have a home there. I have no much money here, but I have treasures in heaven. And so I prayed, my wife and I prayed that God will help us in the education of our children. My wife and I were in Manila, and when the war broke out, we stopped. My wife and I returned to high school and then to college after we had 4 children. So praise the Lord. Her salary was for the education of our children. My salary, which was around $15, was for our food. And then so with prayers and with the help of God, our children are educated. I do not like to brag. I'm not bragging. My eldest daughter, 30, lacks only 9 units to complete her BS in home economics. Her husband is teaching in Silliman University in the Philippines. My son, Leslie, 28 years old, got his PhD in history in Duke University. Dr. Stanger met him and some others. And then my son, Marvin, 25, he is a BS in agriculture. He is in charge of the research work of the Del Monte Banana Plantation in Mindanao Island. And then I am praying hard again that my youngest son, 22 years old, who will be graduating Master in Political Science in the State University in Manila, may come here to America and continue for his PhD in Political Science. I have no money, nothing, but I believe in God that through prayers, God will provide, because my slogan in my life is God will provide. There are many things that I would like to tell you, but the time is now limited, and I do not like to overshoot my time allotted to me. But anyway, another instant that God has answered my prayers is that after graduation from here in 1963, I have no money left. I was offered a job by the Board of Evangelism of the Methodist Church to work in Johnson City, Tennessee, But I have been praying hard that I want to go home because I feel homesick to my family. For 3 years, I have not gone to the Philippines. But I had a friend, a pastor in Cunningham. His name was Vernon Horney. He graduated from the seminary. He said, "Francisco, you better do not work anymore. My church will provide for your transportation." So here, I did not work anymore during summer, and so I returned home with my transportation provided by that church. Because I have been praying that I will not work anymore because I feel homesick, and I believe that there is no place like home, and so God has provided the money for my transportation. The church in Cunningham provided the money, and perhaps, the Lord willing, Dr. Killian and his family will take me there, if it will be possible. But anyway, I am thankful to you because I have the opportunity to share you in a humble way my Christian life of prayer, and I cannot get along without prayer. And this is one thing I can tell you. I am very thankful for the professors of the seminary where I studied 10 years ago, and their lives and the influence of Asbury Seminary has a great impact in my Christian ministry. And that when I have returned to the Philippines, I always preach the bread of life and the water of life. And I am the only Methodist graduate in American seminary who was willing to go to Mindanao Island. All the others, Manila, Quezon City, big cities. But when Bishop Valencia wrote me, "You go to Mindanao," I was at first reluctant, but I obeyed. Because in my ministry, I had never sought an appointment in my life. The appointment sought me, and I will go where the Lord wants me to go. Because I love Him so much, and I wanted to reciprocate God for what He has done for me because I live and believe in prayers. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Well, you know, in the past couple of weeks, I've read the Abraham narrative and the Joseph narrative and the Jacob narrative, but this morning we heard the Francisco narrative. That's exciting. We praise the Lord for it. We want to pray, and we're going to pray in this way this morning. We're going to, first of all, thank the Lord together. I want you to pray with me. I will direct our prayers. Then let's confess and prepare for prayer. And then if you would pray as directed, we'll pray together this morning. Now, I've been very struck in the last few days. The Holy Spirit has reminded me that all over the world, people are praying today, Christians. And this is an awesome thought. And I believe that God will hear our prayers that go up from this room this morning in this place. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give thanks to You. We give thanks for the token of Thy goodness in our homes and our lives, and especially in this seminary. For all the goodness that Thou hast bestowed upon us through our brothers and sisters in the faith, we give thanks. For the guarding grace which Thou hast watched over our bodies and preserved us in times of trial and trouble, we give thanks and praise. For fellowship with those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks. And for the greatest gift of all, which You have bestowed upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Now, Lord, we come to You this morning in confession. And as we pray for prayers of intercession. Lord, we want to come to you and pray that you will cleanse us, that you will purify us. Oh God, make us sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit in our prayer. Oh God, give us the faith to believe as we pray this morning together. Lord, we pray that you will teach us. Teach us to know that thou art God. Teach us to love. Lord, we want to take a moment and pray for the person on our left. Now, Lord, the person on our right. Oh, Christ, may the flow of your love go from one to another in this place. Teach us the way of faith. Teach our subconscious minds and cleanse our subconscious minds, O God. Lord, help us to listen to you this morning. Now, Father, we believe that we are cleansed. We believe that we are ready to intercede. And this morning we want to pray for the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we think of the congregations that are represented here in this room. We think of graduates who have gone forth from the seminary, who are now carrying out your mission in your church. Lord, in the quietness, bring a face of a graduate to us now. A name. We lift this person to you. Their church, their work, their protection, their families. Oh, and may the healing balm of Christ flow over them this moment, spiritually and mentally and emotionally and physically. Lord, we pray for missionaries all over the world, foreign missionaries. We think of a face or a name. Protect them. Fill them with thy Spirit. Use them. Lord, we think of those young college students and young people in this country and other countries who are now in preparation for service. Help them to sense the awesome call of God upon their lives and the responsibility that they have to fulfill that call, but the resource they have in you. Oh God, call laborers forth. Help us to have zeal for thy work. Oh God, put a flame in our hearts anew and afresh this morning for the ministry which you've called us to. Lord, this morning we want to lift the suffering. We want to lift the poor, the hungry, those who are cold, refugees. Prisoners. The oppressed all over this world. Those who are in despair and discouragement. Maybe even in this room. Oh Lord, touch them. Minister to their need. Lord, for the aged, we pray. All who are lonely, we pray. Father, for our seminary, we pray this morning. Lord, for our president, for our dean, for our faculty. Lord, give us a face and a name of a faculty member now as we students pray. Lord, we lift that person to you. Pray thy protection and care and love and guidance in their life. Then, Lord, we lift the student body. Lord, we pray for our wives. Lord, for our children. We're grateful and thankful this morning, Lord, for our wives and for our children, for our wives who are so faithful, and for these God-given children that you've given to us. We thank you. Lord, for those in the seminary who might have financial problems, those who might be sick, and then, Lord, we want to be specific this morning. We want to pray for L. Kelly. Touch him. Lord, we want to pray for Esther Richter. Continue to bless her and heal her. Lord, we want to pray for Margaret Stranger this morning and any others in the seminary who might be sick or bereaved. We lift to you. Now, Lord, we believe that you have heard our prayers, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer, knowing that you have said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." O Christ, we believe you, and we have prayed, and we know that you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you stand with me, please? Would you receive the benediction? Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.